Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Today we're supposed to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, texts 80 and 81. But there's no internet, so we can't see it on. Can you use the database from there, Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Because that's online on the machine, which is what I'm trying to find. Madhya Lila 15, texts 80 and 81. Sorry? You're correct. 180 and 181. Yeah. Thanks. Yes. Jaya jaya jhyajama jito dosha gabita gunam pamasya ratmana sambaruda samasta bhaga agajagar oka samakila shatya babodakarthi kvachet ajayatmana cha charito nucharin nigama. Let's do the word for word for this one. Jaya jaya. Kindly exhibit your glory.
Jahi.
Jahi.
Please conquer.
Ajam. Nescience. Maya.
Maya.
Oh, nescience. Maya, I guess that is. Ajita.
Ajita.
Oh, unconquerable one.
Dosha. Dosha.
Faulty.
Grihita gunam.
By which the qualities are accepted. Swam, you. Asi, are. Jat, because. Atmana, by your internal potency. Samavarudha, possessing. Samastabhaga, all kinds of opulences. Aga, non-moving. Jagat, moving. Okasam, of the embodied living entities. Akila, all. Shakti, of potencies. Avabodhaka, master. Te, you. Kvachit, sometimes. Ajaya, by the external energy. Atmana, of yourself. Cha, also. Charita, manifesting pastimes by your glance. Anucharit, confirm. Nigama, all the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. No, that's right. O my Lord, O unconquerable one, O master of potencies, please exhibit your internal potency to conquer the nescience of all moving and inert living entities. Due to nescience, they accept all kinds of faulty things, thus provoking a fearful situation. O Lord, please show your glories. You can do this very easily, for your internal potency is beyond the external potency, and you are the reservoir of all opulence. You are also the demonstrator of the material potency. You are also always engaged in your pastimes in the spiritual world, where you exhibit your reserved internal potency. And sometimes you exhibit the external potency by glancing over it. Thus you manifest your pastimes. The Vedas confirm your two potencies and accept both times of pastimes due to them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is taken from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-14. It is from the prayers of the Shruti Gana, the personified Vedas, who glorify the Lord. The Almighty Personality of Godhead has three potencies: internal, external, and marginal. The conditioned souls, who are condemned due to forgetfulness of the Lord, are put under the control of the external energy when she creates the material world. The three modes of nature keep the living entities in a constant state of fear. Vayam dviti binideshita deshitaha. The conditioned soul is always fearful due to being controlled by the external potency. Therefore, the conditioned soul should always pray to the Almighty Lord to conquer the external potency, Maya, so that she will no longer manifest her powers, which bind all living entities, moving and inert. By praying in this way, one will become eligible to remain constantly in the association of the Lord, thus fulfilling the mission of going home, back to Godhead. Text 181. We can do it together. E mata sava bhaktara kahi sava guna sabara vidyaya dilakari alingana. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the good qualities of his devotees one after the other. He then embraced them and bade them farewell. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Jnanjana Sharataya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasvai Shri Gurave Namaham. So this verse is actually one I spoke on 3 weeks ago. Last week was Bhakti Siddhanta, the week before was Nityananda Prabhu, and the week before that was this verse. So I'm not going to redo it, but we will kind of cover it. But before we go there, I want to speak a little bit about Iswara Puri, who was Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Iswara Puri, who we're speaking about today, is this parent's day. So in Adi Lila, chapter 9, which is part of the explanation of the tree and the trunk of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the branches and the different devotees, Iswara Puri is described, and also Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master, are described in texts 10 and 11. All glories to Sri Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is in him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Text 11. Sri Iswara Puri Rupe Akura Pushta Haila Apanai Chaitanya Mali Skanda Upajiva. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Iswara Puri. And then the gardener himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. So it's described that Madhavendra Puri, whose lineage is quite unique, if we follow our parampara from Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhvacharya, and so forth. You'll see that all the list of the different devotees from Madhvacharya, who is known as Purna Prajna Tirtha, are all Tirthas. Until you get to Lakshmipati Tirtha, who initiated Madhavendra Puri. That doesn't happen in a Vedic culture, generally. At least not by Pantratriti Vidhi, by proper initiation, by Diksha. A Tirtha doesn't initiate a Puri. So, from this inference and by Bhaktisiddhanta's explanation, we can understand that Madhavendra Puri was the Shiksha disciple, Shishya disciple, a hearing disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. Madhavendra Puri is considered, because Madhavendra Puri, How do you go from one stage of devotional service almost to like another, where a seed brings up a new t- topic in the parampara. How does that happen? How can you begin something new? Because it's all passed down. You can't really start something new because that would be speculative. It's kind of like a bamboo shoot, however. Sometimes bamboo, you don't see it under the ground, but it crawls and then sprouts up another one. The home is over here, but the new shoot comes up some distance away. So it's kind of like that with the Tirtha Tadapuri. And then Madhavendra Puri, it says here that he brought the seed of devotional service in this particular Vipralamba, Prema Bhakti, Braj Bhakti, to the material world and manifested it like that new shoot from the old bamboo, from the home bamboo, so that it could begin manifesting between Madhavendra Puri, then Isvara Puri, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Madhavendra Puri, we pretty much, I assume everyone knows the story of how Madhavendra Puri was at Govardhan, had the dream, installed the deity of Srinathji for 2 years, stayed there and worshipped, had another dream that the deity was still hot, so he traveled to Jagannath Puri to get Chanda, to go back to Gopal. But as he was traveling from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, he traveled through the town of Rimuna, where Shri Chota Gopinath is. And after he went to Jagannath Puri and then came back to Rimuna, he had another dream. And Shri Chota Gopinath told him, no need for you to travel all the way back to Vrindavan. Put the body on Gopinath, put the chandan on Gopinath, and I will be cool. So for the rest of his life, where did Madhavendra Puri stay?
With Gopinath.
Very good. In Rimuna. So, this pastime that we're about to read about takes place in Rimuna. At the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Isvara Puri, his disciple, so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleansed up his stool and urine, always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, the last stages of his life, Isvara Puri gave the best service amongst his disciples. Thus, Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, my dear boy, I can only pray that to Krishna that he will be pleased with you. Thus, Isvara Puri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of God. After this pastime, not really chronicled, so there's no telling how long it took, but after that, Isvara Puri began to travel. He was a sannyasi, and he came to Nadia, where Lord Chaitanya was still a youth in school with his friends Giridhar Pandit, Murari Gupta, and so forth. And at that time, Gopinath Acharya was still living in Navadvipa. Who can help me? Who's Gopinath Acharya that we hear about in Chaitanya Charitamrita?
I know. He was probably Pujari for Gopinath.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yes. He was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Prior to his moving to Jagannath Puri, or his life in Jagannath Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya lived in Nadia. And he was friends with Lord Chaitanya's grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, in Simantadvipa. But because of Nawab Hussein Shah and the Mohammedan problem, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left Navadvipa and moved to Jagannath Puri. But his family and familial relations still remained back in Nadia, and Gopinath Acharya married his sister, thus becoming his brother-in-law. And then he moved to Jagannath Puri. But previous to that, when he was still in Nadia, Isvara Puri, after leaving Madhavendra Puri, stayed with Gopinath Acharya in his home. And he had written one book called Sri Krishna Lilamrita. And as he mingled with the different people in Navadvipa, he was very attracted to the student population, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, and Gadadhar Pandit, especially Gadadhar Pandit, who was very meek in his nature. So Iswarapuri invited him to come regularly and hear from him his book, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. And he would daily discourse on this, and naturally Nimai would also come there and listen to him present this book. And this is what happened. He started affectionately to give him lessons on Sri Krishna Lilamrita, a book of his own composition. Nimai would also come daily to Gopinath Acharya's house to visit Iswarapuri while he was teaching Gadadhar and offer him obeisances. One day, Iswarapuri asked Nimai, who was known as a great scholar, to correct any mistakes that might be in his book, to edit them. Nimai replied, "Anyone who finds any fault with a devotee's description of Krishna is a sinner. If a devotee writes a poem, no matter how poorly he does it, it will certainly contain his love for Krishna. A fool says Vishnaya, while a scholar knows the correct form is Vishnave. But Krishna accepts the sentiment in either case. If anyone sees fault in this, the fault is his, for Krishna is pleased with anything that a pure devotee says. You too describe Krishna with your words of love, so what arrogant person would dare criticize anything you have written?" And in this way, Lord Chaitanya exhibited his mood of submissiveness to Iswarapuri. So Iswarapuri remained there for several months teaching like this. One time Lord Chaitanya also invited him to his home, and Mother Sachi cooked, and Lord Chaitanya served Iswarapuri the prasadam and washed his feet, invited him to the home, afterwards took the remnants of his food. And by and by, Iswarapuri left Nadia. Sometime later, Jagannath Misra passed away and left this world. So to offer Pinda Shraddha ceremony, the Shraddha Prasadam, Lord Chaitanya traveled to Gaya. At Gaya, there's a temple where it's famous. It's kind of close to the place where Lord Buddha appeared and performed his pastimes. And at that place, there's a big footprint of Lord Vishnu, where he killed Gayasura, a demon. And this huge footprint is there, and people offer pinda at that place to their forefathers. So Lord Chaitanya traveled to Gaya to perform that ceremony. And while he was there, Iswarapuri was also there. So he submitted himself before Iswarapuri and said, "My pilgrimage to Gaya is successful, for today I have seen your lotus feet. When one makes pinda offerings to the ancestors, then the ancestor is delivered. But simply by seeing you, 10 million ancestors are delivered from all forms of bondage in a single moment. Therefore, no holy place is your equal, and you are the primary source of auspiciousness, even for the holy places. Please, lift me up from this ocean of material suffering. I offer this body up to your service. The only gift I ask of you is that you give me the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet to drink." And in this way, he submitted himself to Iswarapuri, who initiated him in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya was thus initiated and returned to Nadi. Later, after he took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya was traveling to Puri and went to the place of Iswarapuri's appearance in Kumarhatta. And while he was there, he became overwhelmed in ecstasy. He took some of the dirt and put it in a pouch, and every day he would take a little bit and eat it. That place became famous because he did that. And so many people would come, and everybody would take some dirt and dust, and a big hole was manifest, which is now a corner, because when it rains, the water comes, and now it's filled up. It's called Chaitanya Dobha, the pool where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. So today is the appearance day, disappearance day. Before he left this world, Isvarapuri told two of his disciples, Govinda and Kasisvara, that you two go to Puri, where your godbrother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is there, and serve him. So Govinda was Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, and Kasisvara was a big-bodied person. He was like a real strong security guard, and he used to walk in front of Lord Chaitanya with his danda and make sure no one could come close and disturb the Lord. So that's Isvarapuri. Interesting. I don't know. I didn't read that in Gauragona Deshtipika, but that makes sense, doesn't it? Wow. Pardon? Yeah, I've been to Gaya. Have you gone? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's called Vishnupad. They have these little, still have a little silver foot of Lord Vishnu's foot.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. It says that he was the first, just like the seed fructifies, and then there's a sapling that comes up just up above the ground and just starts there, and then that is compared like that. Yes. Now, because the verse that we read from the prayers of the personified Vedas was in reference to Lord Chaitanya's talks with Vasudeva Dutt. Remember, he was telling him that this whole material world is like one little mustard seed in a pile of mustard seeds. And if one mustard seed is lost, what's the loss? But because we already covered that, what I want to do now is just go over and read the verses from this whole little pastime of Lord Chaitanya meeting with his devotees at Kasimisra's house after they've remained there for the 4 months of the rainy season and are about to depart. And he's dealing intimately with each one of them. We started reading this pastime in October. So we've been reading it for almost 5 months, between 4 and 5 months. So it's there in the memory banks. And do we have the microphone? I'm going to read it in sections where he deals with each devotee. And I'd be interested to see who has some realizations that may have sprouted from hearing about this week after week, and in case we come across some of the things. I personally I really relish the meditation of the Lord with his devotees. Krishna loves his devotees. It's one of his foremost, he doesn't need anything. But out of love, the love dominates that opulent personality to the point where he really loves spending time with his devotees. He loves interacting with them. He loves being with them. He loves their exchanges. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite unique. He doesn't play like with cowherd boys, jumping on each other's shoulders and buddy, buddy, yada, yada. He doesn't display that kind of a relationship. Neither does he dance with others' wives in intimate conjugal love. He doesn't meet with them out at night and play these pastimes. But his pastimes are so sublime that when he simply sits with them or chants in kirtan with them or with the intimate associates of Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, feeling the moods of intimate association between Radha and Krishna in separation in the Gambhira, he exchanges with them. And that's, if we can kind of understand that these devotees have all, they're all Nitya Siddha, Parishas, associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Krishna, who have manifested in forms of bodies and men who can associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, in this mood. Now they're all on earth, they're performing their pastimes, they've come to Jagannath Puri, they're with him in Kasi Misra's house, and they're very intimately gathering before the ones from Bengal leave and go back. And I'm sure you'll remember these because they're familiar pastimes, but they're wonderful to go through. One day the two brothers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, consulted with each other while sitting together in a solitary place. No one could understand what the brothers discussed between themselves. But later, all the devotees could guess what the subject matters were. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thereafter called all the devotees and asked them to return to Bengal. In this way, he bade them farewell. Bidding farewell to all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them to return to Jagannath Puri every year to see him and to help cleanse the Gundicha temple. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaita Acharya. Give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men, the Chandalas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, go to Bengal and without restriction manifest devotional service to the Lord, Krishna consciousness. Nityananda Prabhu was given assistants like Ramadas, Gadadhar, and several others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I give them to you to assist you. I shall go to see you at intervals. Keeping myself invisible, I shall watch you dance. There's an interesting literary technique that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami implies and puts into the book that I didn't really realize just reading this chapter. But now in our course online, we're studying Antyalila, and it's revealed there how this connects. As we go through these different personalities, in Antyalila, it's described that the Lord manifests in three different ways. One is in front of people, in his personal form. Two is that, like Mother Sachi, when she's offering prasadam, he comes and he accepts the prasadam. She sees him internally. That's called avirbhava. And another place where he manifests is when Nityananda Prabhu dances, like at Panihati Festival. When Nityananda mentally invited Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya came there, some people could see him, some couldn't. So, the first one's where Mother Sachi offers her prasadam, where Lord Nityananda dances, where Raghava Pandit cooks and offers his prasadam, in the house of Srivas Thakur, when he performs kirtan. So one of the ways is internally, one of the ways is externally, and another is when he empowers someone, like he did with Nrisinghananda Brahmachari. So he's saying, I shall go to see you at intervals, keeping myself invisible. I shall also watch you dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Srivas Pandit, and with his arm around his neck, began to speak with him in sweet words. Perform congregational chanting daily, and be assured that I shall also dance in your presence. You will be able to see this dancing, but not others. Take this prasadam of Lord Jagannath and this cloth, and deliver them to my mother, Sachi Devi. After offering her obeisances, please request her to excuse my offenses. I have given up the service of my mother and have accepted the sannyas order. Actually, I should not have done this, for by so doing, I have destroyed my religious principles. I am subordinate to the love of my mother, and it is my duty to serve her in return. Instead of doing so, I have accepted this renounced order, and certainly this is an act of a madman. A mother is not offended by her son, by her mad son, and knowing this, My mother is not offended by me. I had no business accepting the renounced order and sacrificing my love for my mother, which is my real property. Actually, I was in a crazy state of mind when I accepted sannyas. I'm staying here at Jagannath Puri, Nilachala, to comply with her orders. But at intervals, I go to see her lotus feet. Indeed, I go there daily to see her lotus feet. She is able to feel my presence, although she does not believe it to be true. Does anyone remember the discussion we had on this topic? Very good. It was mentioned in the purport that the devotee in the material world, when he experiences the feeling that Krishna is there, it's actually not just a dream. So in our meditations, we should cultivate an internal appreciation that it's not just a dream. When we actually chant and meditate and get glimpses of Krishna and what he does and who he is and all these things, it's actually just like Mother Sachi. I just mentioned those four places. It's actually a way in which God manifests himself to the living entities in the material world. It's an internal experience. So now Lord Chaitanya is going to explain about how that manifested with Mother Sachi. He's telling Srivas Thakur, explain this to her so that she'll believe it. One day, Mother Sachi offered food to the Shalagram Shila, Vishnu. She offered rice cooked from the sal paddy, various kinds of vegetables, spinach, curry made of banana flowers, fried patola and neem leaves, pieces of ginger with lemon, and also yogurt, milk, sugar candy, and many other foods. Taking the food upon her lap, Mother was crying to think that all this food was very dear to her Nimai. Mother was thinking, Nimai is not here. Who will accept this food? As she meditated upon me in this way, her eyes filled with tears. While she was thus thinking and crying, I immediately went there with great haste and ate everything. Seeing the dish empty, she wiped her tears away. She then began to wonder who had eaten all the food. Why is this plate empty? She wondered, doubting that Bal Gopal had eaten it. She began to wonder whether there had been actually anything on the plate in the first place. Then again, she thought that some animal might have come and eaten everything. And she thought, perhaps by mistake, I did not put any food on the plate. So thinking, she went to the kitchen and saw the pots. When she saw that all the pots were still filled with rice and vegetables, there was some doubt in her mind, and she was astonished. Thus wondering, she called Isham, the servant, and had the place cleansed again. She then offered another plate to Gopal. Now, whenever she prepares some food cooked and wants to feed it to me, she cries in great anxiety. Being obliged by her love, I am brought there to eat. Mother knows all these things internally and feels happiness, but externally she does not accept them. Such an incident took place on the last Vijay Dasani day. You can ask her about this incident and thus make her believe that I actually go there. While describing all this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a little overwhelmed. But just to finish bidding farewell to the devotees, he remained patient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next spoke some relishable words to Raghava Pandit. He said, I'm obliged to you due to your pure love for me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then looked around and informed everyone. Just hear about the pure devotional service rendered to Krishna by Raghava Pandit. Indeed, Raghava Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. Apart from other commodities, hear about his offering of coconuts. A coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandas each. Although he already has hundreds of trees and millions of fruits, Raghava Pandit is still very eager to hear about that place where sweet coconuts are available. He collects coconuts with great endeavor from a place 20 miles away, and he pays 4 panits for each of them. Every day, 5 to 7 coconuts are clipped and put into water to keep cool. At the time of offering bhoga, the coconuts are again clipped and cleansed. After holes are made in the tops of the coconuts, they're offered to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna drinks the juice from these coconuts. And sometimes the coconuts are left drained of juice. At other times, the coconuts remain filled with juice. When Raghava Pandit sees that the juice has been drunk from the coconuts, oh, he's very pleased. He then breaks the coconuts, takes out the pulp, and puts it on another plate. After offering the pulp, he meditates outside the temple door. In the meantime, Lord Krishna, having eaten the pulp, leaves the plate empty. Sometimes, after eating the pulp, Krishna fills the plate again with new pulp. In this way, the faith of Raghava Pandit increases, and he floats in an ocean of love. One day, it so happened that about 10 coconuts were properly clipped and brought by a servant to offer the deity. When the coconuts were brought, there was a little time to offer them before, because it was already late. The servant, holding the container of coconuts, remained standing at the door. Raghava Pandit then saw that the servant touched the ceiling above the door and then touched the coconuts with that same hand. Raghava Pandit admonished that servant. People are always coming and going through that door, and the dust from their feet blows up and touches the ceiling. After touching the ceiling above the door, you again touch the coconuts. Now they are no longer fit to be offered to Krishna because they are contaminated. Such is the service of Raghava Pandit. He did not accept the coconuts, but threw them over the wall. His service is purely based on unalloyed love, and it conquers the whole world. Thereafter, Raghava Pandit had other coconuts gathered, cleansed and clipped, and with great affection he offered them to the deity. In this way, from distant villages, he collects excellent bananas, mangoes, oranges, jackfruits, and whatever other first-class fruits he has heard about. All these fruits are collected from distant places and bought at a high price. After trimming them with great care and purity, Raghava Pandit offers them to the deity. Thus, with great care and attention, Raghava Pandit prepares spinach and other vegetables, radishes, fruits, chipped rice, powdered rice, and sweetmeats. He prepares cakes, sweet rice, condensed milk, and everything else with great attention. And the cooking conditions are purified so that the food is first class and delicious. Raghava Pandit also offers all kinds of pickles, such as kasmati. And he offers various scents, garments, ornaments, and the best of everything. Thus, Raghava Pandit serves the Lord in an incomparable way. Everyone is very much satisfied to see him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then mercifully embraced Raghava Pandit. The Lord also offered other devotees a farewell with similar respect. As I was reading this, I'm thinking, that's what it takes. That's how to gain the favor of the Lord, to be so attentive, really wanting Krishna's pleasure. One of the four places the Lord always manifests is Raghava Pandit's kitchen. It's said that Radharani herself cooks in his kitchen. Now to the point that we were discussing from this verse. The Lord also respectfully told Shivananda Singh, take care of Vasudev Dutt very nicely. Vasudev Dutt is very liberal. Every day, whatever income he receives, he spends. He does not keep any balance. Being a householder, Vasudev Dutt needs to save some money. Because he's not doing so, it's very difficult for him to maintain his family. Please take care of Vasudev Dutt's family affairs. Become his manager and make proper adjustments. Come every year and bring all my devotees with you to the Gundicha Temple Festival. I also request you to maintain all of them. With great care and respect, The Lord then gave an invitation to all the inhabitants of Kulinagram, asking them to come every year and bring silken ropes to carry Lord Jagannath at the Rath Yatra festival. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, Gunaraj Khan of Kulinagram compiled a book named Sri Krishna Vijay, in which there is a sentence revealing the author's ecstatic love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, is my life and soul. Eka bhave vanda hari yodakari hata nanda nandana krishna mora pranana. With folded hands, I offer my prayers unto Krishna, Nanda Maharaj's son, who is my life and soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, by this statement, I am sold into the hands of the descendants of Gunaraj Khan. To say nothing of you, even a dog living in your village is very dear to me. What then to speak of others? Purport. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the Kayasthas who come from Kanyakubja were all high-class men. Of them, Dasarath Basu was a great personality, and the 13th generation of his family included Gunaraj Khan. His real name was Maladatta Basu, but the title Khan was given to him by the Emperor of Bengal. Sri Gunaraj Khan had 14 sons, of whom the second son, Lakshminath Basu, received the title Satyaraj Khan, and his son was Ramananda Basu. So thus, all three, Satyaraj Khan, Gunaraj Khan was the father, grandfather, Satyaraj Khan was his son, and Ramananda Basu was his son. And Lord Chaitanya is there with all of them and telling them, every year you bring the ropes from Kulinagram. Have the people in the village braid and weave from the jute. We used to live in Mayapur. Mayapur on the Ganges. Jute grows proficiently in Bengal. And that jute is a plant. It's kind of like real tall grass. No, bamboo has a hard stalk. Jute has soft, like grass. And what happens is that they take it and they break it open. They soak it in water. If you soak bamboo in water, it still remains hard. It's like a bamboo rod. But if you take jute and soak it in water, it all becomes soft, like grass. And they take all that and they soak it and soak it and soak it. And then they dry it and fluff it. And they actually make clothing out of jute. And they can make long string out of jute and weave it together to make the ropes. And the devotees from Kulinagram would do that every year for the whole year, and every year bring those ropes with them on their travels to Jagannath Puri so that they could use those ropes. Because one year, wasn't it, they broke? One of the first years that they were actually pulling the ones made in Orissa, and the rope broke. Pandri?
They used to call it like a artificial. I don't think it's the exact name.
Bengali silk.
Art silk. Art silk.
Art silk. Art silk. Maybe that's it, huh? Because they're not silk.
But we're from the jute.
Kulinagram.
Yeah, but okay.
So he's telling. They're calling. I don't know what the Bengali is. I don't have it handy.
But they say jute there.
I remember when I was living in Mayapur, they had a thing called the itchy season, and that's when they had all the jute, they'd flood the fields where the jute was, and the outer part would dissolve, and there's strings inside, the fibers. So then after the outside part was gone, then just the fibers were left, and then they would harvest the fibers and put them into big bales, and then they would take them away and turn them into ropes.
Nice. I never actually saw the process. When we were there, we would see barges, big, huge, flatboat boats coming down the Jalungi and going to the Ganges and taking it to wherever the mills were. Oh, thank you. After this, Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan both submitted questions at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of the Lord. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. Hearing this, Satyaraj Khan asked, how can I recognize a true Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, a chandala, can be delivered. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus his dormant love for Krishna is awakened. I mentioned last time, Samapriya told me she didn't remember it, so it wasn't emphasized enough. One of the literary techniques that Krishnadas Kaviraj uses is that when he presents a topic and has it presented, at the end of that presentation, he usually uses Shastra to verify it, to emphasize it and use it as a reference. And the most common example is in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would ask a question, Ramananda would answer it, and then quote a verse. And then Lord Chaitanya would ask another question, Ramananda would answer it, and then use a reference. So, you know that one prayer, Nana Shasta Vichata Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako, that the 6 Goswamis are known because what they did was they took the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then they scrutinized the Vedas and found appropriate verses for various truths that he taught. And then they used those very verses as pillars upon which they wrote their books. So Rupa Goswami wrote one book, which is an anthology. It's a gathering of different verses. One section of that is on the holy name of Krishna. So, after explaining to Satyaraj Khan's family, Gunaraj Khan and Ramananda Vasu, that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, all 9 processes of devotional service are included, he quoted a verse that Rupa Goswami uses in the anthology. This is from that anthology. It's from Padyavali 29. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that, save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available for everyone, including the lowest type of man, a chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulences of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purushacharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should offer all respects unto him. I think that's a good place to end. Hari Bol. Are there any questions, comments, discussion on these points?
Oh.
Madame?
I was wondering when it mentions that. I think I heard it one time where it said that that means you said it one time offenselessly, not with offenses.
When we that day that we gave class on that, when one chants the holy name, it was described in the purport by Bhaktisiddhanta that simply chanting or saying the alphabetical letters is not chanting, which could be compared in one way to namabhas, like a person is joking or drunk or whatever. This isn't a person who's drunk, who's intoxicated, or even says offensively the name of Krishna is not considered a Vaishnava in the sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying serve that person, worship that person, honor that person. They're benefited, and we appreciate that they do that, but the purport was deeper, yes. Thank you.
Because it seems that it goes against a couple of things in your mind when you hear something like that.
Yes, certainly. And that was the purport that we covered when we went through that section. Samapriya? Samapriya?
Hare Krishna. When you were speaking about deity worship and how Mother Sachi and there's other examples.
Raghava
Pandit, coconuts. And then I was thinking, oh my goodness, when will that day be mine? I've been doing puja for like almost 40 years, I guess, or more. And, you know, that sometimes I get a reciprocation, but nothing like that. But of course, there's great joy. But then when you started speaking about chanting the holy name, then it clicked. Then I was very happy because when we're chanting Krishna's name, it's very, very intimate. And if we really give the holy name our full attention, then and allow ourselves to associate directly with Krishna in that way. So many things are revealed that that's why it's the Yuga Dharma. We're very blessed that we can actually have that experience. Maybe not on the altar, maybe not like all these very exalted Vaishnavas who associated with Lord Chaitanya. But still, he has given us the holy name, and through the holy name, we can become very intimate. And I'm sure many devotees have experienced how when they're chanting, something starts to awaken within them. So that we can concentrate on.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Is that a paper record for me?
I remember in a previous class, they were talking about what was offerable and what wasn't offerable. In a previous class, I don't know if it was Chaitanya Charitamrita or what, but I think it was Pran Govinda was giving the class, and he was talking about what things that weren't offerable.
Were offerable and weren't offerable?
Yes, and Raghava Pandit is so careful in particular about what he offers, and he mentioned radishes, and he was saying that radishes shouldn't be offered, some kind of offensive reaction for that. So could you say something about that?
Pundarik seems to have some.
You can hear?
Oh. Okay.
Radishes.
The question is, it was mentioned radishes. I think, and they're not offerable. I think that there are different kinds of radishes. The kind that we have here in America, the ones that I've seen anyway, are usually little red things that are like hot. Yeah. But in India, they have one called muli. It's like a carrot, only it's white.
Ooh, yeah.
And those are also maybe radish family. Just my off the top of my head. But that those are very relishable. They're in a lot of different preparations.
By the way, you know that type of radish you just mentioned? They also have those in China.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
They're not offerable?
They're what? Yeah, they are.
medicinal.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Vibha. So we were just hearing about lavish spending for the deity, going the distance, finding the nicest, and spending top dollar. But then we also hear in Srila Prabhupada's pastime quite the opposite, not in terms of worship of the deity and trying to be, but more this mood of trying to be frugal and trying to not undermine the service to the deity, but also not overspend. Maybe there's no contradiction. I'm just trying to understand for myself, I suppose, how not to be cheap, but how not to be
overspend. I think that's everybody's got a balance, because later on we'll find that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Govardhan Shila that he used to chant with to Raghunath Das Goswami, and then told Swarup Damodar to explain the puja to him, Raghunath Das used to just use a bowl of water and tulsi leaves, and some kaja and some sandesh were also offered. So it was extremely simple. And it was mentioned in that lila that he experienced the pleasure of offering all 64 items of puja. So it's bhav that is the ultimate goal, to awaken love, and whatever circumstances, whatever nutrients, awakening love one uses is the best for him or her. It might be riches, or it might be something simple, depending on each person's circumstance. But I think with Raghava Pandit, one of the points was that he was so enthusiastic to serve Krishna the best. And he's buying fruit. He's not buying rubies and diamonds and from around the planet. He's getting fruit, but he's getting really good fruit. And he hears about it and he wants it. That was kind of his move.
When you were mentioning about the different ways that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna were appearing, I was thinking of the word sporti, which I think that's another, how that
sporti
works.
Sporti and avir bhava, that internal manifestation, pretty much the same thing, except I think avir bhava is from the point of view of the Lord manifesting internally, and sporti is kind of like from the devotee's point of view. It's a verb which describes that one is seeing internally.
So when he's seeing internally, is Krishna present there?
Yes.
Oh. So.
Comes up. One time I read one of the stories that really kind of brought that home for me was when I was doing this. I did a series called Vedas for Young Readers. It was like books about the Das Avatar. And when I was doing Ram Lila, I got three different Ramayans, and some of them in India have like verse by verse. You get the verse by verse ones. Usually Gita Press does those. But anyway, it was describing how Valmiki was empowered by Lord Brahma to write about Ram. And he told them that you, just like Sanjaya, he said, you'll understand each character. You'll see in their heart, you'll understand their moods, you'll know what they're saying, you'll know what they're feeling as you compose this book. So that depth, it's not like watching a movie. Or viewing something. What do they call it when you're one place and you're viewing something? Remote viewing. It's sort of like remote viewing, but it really in depth. He understood each character, what they're feeling, just like Sanjaya was explaining how Duryodhana felt and how Bhishma felt and how what Krishna was saying.
It seems that Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, when he writes his purports, he has that same ability, because there's another conversation that's going on with the persons that are involved in the verse.
Yes, and when Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't write these books, Krishna wrote these books. What's that?
The word sporti, I was thinking of, was how when Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya's conversation towards the end of it, and Lord, when Ramananda asked Lord Chaitanya, how come I'm seeing you, first I saw you as a sannyasi, then I saw all the forms, and I see you as Radha and Krishna, what's going on? And he said that for someone who's, I guess, a Paramahansa, everywhere they look, all they do is nij ishtade sporti, they see Krishna manifesting. And it seems that's our training, because of the nutshell verses. What's the 36? Jignasyam.
Imagina charita bhakti virochanena sandatsa dava vidayeshu virupayam. Yam shama sundaram chintitanasa.
And then again, when Uddhava was brought the message to the gopis, that one, when the gopis heard the message, they had to consider three different times what exactly this message was, where Krishna says, we're never actually separated. He says, Vayoga Mena. He says, how can we be separated if I'm everything and you're always thinking of me? So they kept, I think their second time they reviewed it was that maybe it was sporti, that he was saying how when they think of Krishna, Krishna says he's there, especially being controlled by the love of the gopis. So that it's a very fascinating point, that we're actually never separated from Krishna, even now. We're just imagining that in the Maya's giving us something else to think about.
But simultaneously, we're experiencing times when we are present with Krishna, and times when we aren't that attentive and aware. But although we are philosophically understand that, so my kind of like example is just like a camera. We used to have autofocus. And before that, there was not autofocus, and you had to take the lens and twist it until as it gradually came into focus. So the process of Krishna consciousness is awakening that internal, that self, to have that experience.
I think also in Vrindavan, they say that Krishna is always there in his bhava expansion. He never leaves. So when Prabhupada came to America, they asked him about that. He says, no, I'm still in Vrindavan. He doesn't leave Vrindavan, so Krishna is always present in his bhava expansion. I guess that's how you go back.
I think that's what Lord Chaitanya, one of the things he's doing is enthusing all his devotees, that although we'll be separated, know that I'm with you. As you go. Jai, Hare Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.